our studies in the book of Deuteronomy, going into a fresh section today. So you should have a sheet, either a purple piece of paper or white piece of paper with the outline of the message. Trust that can be helpful to us as we are here this morning to hear God's word together. We're thinking about the arranger this morning. What does an arranger do? What does an arranger do? Well, an arranger organizes everything so that all is in the best order. Arranges everything so that all is in the best order. So you will have wedding arrangers, for example, won't you? What do you do if you get a wedding arranger? Well, you take them on so that they arrange your wedding, so you have a fantastic wedding. So everything is arranged in the best possible way. Which leads me to ask the question then, this morning, who is arranging your life so it would be in the best possible order? So everything in your life would be in the best possible order. That's the question I want us to face this morning, as we're going to look into the Word of God. And let's go straight for the answer, should we? Who should be organizing our lives, everything in our lives, so that it's in the best order? Who do you want doing it? Many people would answer, they just want themselves. They just want me. I want to be the king of my life, and don't anybody else trouble me. But I'm going to put it to you this morning, that's not the best way. The best way is to have God as the arranger. God as the one who has control over your life. Which leads us to the nation of Israel that we have been looking at as we've been going through Deuteronomy. And they're on the verge of entering a new era. A new period in their history is just ahead. Over the River Jordan, to go into the land that God had specially prepared for them. Canaan, the promised land. And in a sense, as they're facing this new era, they have to ask, who's going to be the arranger? Who's going to sort it all out? Who are they going to look to? They're going to look to themselves? They're going to look to God. Chapter 6 and verse 4 onwards to the end of chapter 11, we've been really centering on the first commandment, to have no other gods before me, that our hearts would follow those as they should be for the nation of Israel in their new land that are set on God. First in my heart. That's what it should be. Now as we come into chapters 12 through to 26, we're going to go through some details that develop on that. As Christians, we should be living with God first in my heart. Felton Evangelical Church should be known as God as the first in our hearts. And so read verse 1 of chapter 12, and it says this. These are the decrees and laws you must be careful to follow in the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers has given you to possess as long as you live in the land. So going on to these statements, these decrees, these commands, these laws about how they are to live. And really in the next chapters from chapter 12 to 26, it's developing the rest of the commandments. And so this morning, we're going to start to look at the second commandment, which will take us into chapters 12 and 13. And the second commandment focuses on our worship. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations to those who love me and keep my commandments. Okay, this is the second commandment, which we're going in to see developed. It's focusing on worship, our devotion to our God. We should not bow down to anything false. So that is the nation of Israel. Let's get the parallel. That's the nation of Israel, and they're going into this new era. And God's interested in their worship. God's interested how they're going to live. Now, we want to remind ourselves, what's that for us? Well, we're, as Christians, you're in a new land. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are in salvation land. To live a new life. One of the key ingredients of this life is to be our worship. And that'll affect our lifestyle. So we got two things that we're going to sort about, think about this morning. As God as being the arranger for the nation of Israel those years ago as they anticipated a new era in their lives, and for us, Feltham Evangelical Church, as we seek to live in this great salvation privilege. We'll think about how God is to be the arranger of our worship, and God is to be the arranger of our lifestyle. So let's go into the Word of God. I'm going to read verses 2 through to 14, which is our first section, thinking about God being the arranger of our worship. So let's read the Word of God together. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 2. Destroy completely all the places on the high mountains and on the hills and under every spreading tree where the nations you are dispossessing worship their gods. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones and burn their Asherah poles in the fire. Cut down the idols of their gods and wipe out their names from those places. You must not worship the God. You must not worship the Lord your God in their way. But you are to seek the place the Lord your God will choose from among all your tribes to put his name there for his dwelling. To that place you must go. There bring your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and spiritual gifts, what you have vowed to give, and your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. There in the presence of the Lord your God, you and your families shall eat and shall rejoice in everything you have put your hand to, because the Lord your God has blessed you. You are not to do as we do here today, everyone as he sees fit. Since you have not yet reached the resting place and the inheritance the Lord your God is giving you. But you will cross the Jordan and settle in the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. And he will give you rest from all your enemies around you so that you will live in safety. Then to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling place, there you are to bring everything I command you. Your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and spiritual gifts, and all the choice possessions you have vowed to the Lord. And there rejoice before the Lord your God. You, your sons and daughters, your manservants, maidservants, and the Levites from your towns, who have no allotment or inheritance of their own. Be careful not to sacrifice your burnt offerings any way you please. Offer them only at the place the Lord will choose in one of your tribes, and there observe everything I command you. It's good to read the Word of God. So we're focusing on God arranging our worship. God arranging our worship. Okay? What about worship? Some people say, well, you go to church to worship, I stay at home, I'm not a worshipper. In a sense, it's wrong. The question is not whether we worship. The question is who or what we worship, because we are made to worship. We're all made to worship. Okay? A lot of people worship lots of different things, like fashion or football or any other sport or a person. lots of ways to worship, but we are called to worship the true and living God. See, we are made to be worshippers, but most people malfunction in their worship because worship is not directed in the right direction, which is the only true and living God who should be worshipped. And basically in this passage, Moses is saying to the people, get your worship sorted out. Get God to sort out your worship and you'll have a good foundation for your life. So let's look at the verses 2 and 4. And here is the rejection of false worship. Rejection of false worship. It's total. It's get rid of it. See, they're going into a land where all this other worship had been going on previously. The peoples there had worshipped all kinds of other things, like on the high places, the high mountains and hills, and under every spreading tree. And it says there to destroy it all, verse 3, break it all down, all the altars, the stones, the Asherah poles, and cut all the idols down. Get rid of the whole lot. So there is a rejection of all false worship, all wrong worship. Remove it, obliterate it, get it out of the way. Because it's not true worship. Think about what was going on. Well, they went to the high hills because they thought, we'll be closer to God if we go to the hills. Interesting thinking. And some of the stuff that's going on was just abhorrent. If I mention there were prostitutes involved in all of this worship, you'll get a flavour of how bad and repulsive it was. And Moses says to them, get away. All this stuff. Even wipe out the names from those places. It's as if any vestige of anything of this evil pursuit of false gods must be gone. Verse 4, you must not worship the Lord your God in their way. So what does that mean for us? It means for us that we reject all forms of false worship. We reject all false gods. We stand on the great principle that there is only one way to God. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other name given amongst men whereby we must be saved. We stand on the principle of one God who is known through one Lord Jesus Christ. So we reject multi-faith approaches. We reject multi-faith services. We reject syncretistic approaches. What does that mean? It means just adding bits of religion together and making something we think's nice but is repulsive to God. There is one way to God. There's one way to know the true and living God. May I just make an observation that sometimes we might think that that's a bit extreme, but actually, if I just put it to you like this, you go and examine a lot of the religions in the world and you'll soon see how unsavory they all are. As regards to their approach, in regards to their activities. Sometimes they present in a certain way. But you delve a little bit and you see how disastrous they are. How they can wreck lives and cause all kinds of harm. But the living God, worshipped in the true way, is always healthy, beneficial, valuable, and this is a protection for them in the sense that they wouldn't deviate, that they would get rid of all of the names even out of the way. Okay? So we reject false worship. This is a church which stands for the true worship of God in Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. Okay? Right. As we come then, if we rejected false worship, then verses 5 to 14 state true worship, what true worship is. And if verses 5 to 7 state it, then verses 8 to 14 repeat it. So it's a teaching mechanism, really. State it once and then state it again, so that it's reinforced. God is so gracious, isn't he? Saying, you've got to get this. So what we'll do is, we've got four statements as regards to the material here about what worship is to be, true worship is to be. If you think about where it is, how it's to be done, who's involved, and what happens. And we'll go through that once in verses 5 to 7, and then we'll sort of come back to it in verses 8 through to 14. So firstly, where? And that's in verse 5, isn't it? But you're to seek the place the Lord your God will choose from among all your tribes to put his name there for his dwelling. To that place you must go. Notice here, if you see that verse, the location is not actually the most critical thing. The most important thing is the fact that the Lord chooses the place. Okay? That's what's emphasized here. It's the Lord's choice. It's the place. He doesn't actually tell them the place. He just says, it is the place the Lord your God will choose from among all your tribes to put his name there for his dwelling. To that place you must go. So who calls the shots? Who owns the shop, as dear Brother Julio would have said to me many times over the years? It's God who owns the shop, isn't it? It's God who calls the shots. He is the one who sets the frame for our worship. We need to be aware of that. Where it is to be. So where is it to be today? Where is it to be today? It is to be the place where the Lord chooses to honour his name. It is the place where his word is faithfully preached, where the gospel is adhered to and affirmed, and where Jesus Christ is honoured as the only Lord, God and Saviour. That is the place. And fundamentally, it is a gathering to the name of Jesus Christ. Wherever there is a gathering to the name of Jesus Christ, that is the place. And that place is the place where there is the word of God and the gospel is clung to. We gather to his name. And in a sense, Matthew 18 has the verse which brings this together. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. There is God dwelling when we come on the basis of the true word of God and the gospel truths. So we don't gather to a building, do we? Building's not the key thing. It's gathering to a person, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Yeah. That's what we do. That's where we should meet. Where we come together. Second thing is, and how? Well, we bring our offerings. We bring those which give devotion to the Lord. Verse six, bring our burnt offering, sacrifice, tithe, spiritual gift, special gifts. What you vowed to give, your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your flock, herds and your flocks, all these various things, these offerings, these sacrifices, these tithes, and they're to be brought. You're bringing them into the place of worship, bringing the sacrifices. A group of things is all a sense of coming with the things that God wants us to bring. Coming with the things that God wants us to bring. Sacrifices, offerings, things you vowed. Okay. Which raises the question, what have you brought to the place of worship this morning? What have you brought? You brought any sacrifices? Brought any offerings? It's good to think about how we prepare for worship. It's good to think about bringing things. And you can only bring really what you've acquired during the previous week. So how's your quiet time? Are you seeking to understand more of the scriptures and get to greater appreciation of our Lord Jesus Christ that you might bring? You might bring testimony of how the Lord is working. Things you have observed, and you can bring them into the house of the Lord, the place of the Lord. So how we are to bring our offerings? Bring them in. So go out today and start preparing for next week. What you can bring into the house of God. Perhaps church is disappointing to you because you're not bringing anything. because you've not got anything. Go and think about it. Talk about it. Talk about it over refreshments, about what you can do to make sure you bring things next week. Who? Second question is who? Third question is who? Who's there? Well, we come then into verse 7. There, in the presence of the Lord your God, you and your families shall eat. So who's there? The Lord is there. The Lord your God is there. And the people are there in their families. Okay, God is interested in families. We are interested in families here, supporting families in their different construction. But the fundamental issue is we're supporting families, parents, children. They come together. Okay? So if you're a father this morning particularly, remind you of responsibility to gather your families and bring them into the place of worship. But God is there. Emmanuel, what a beautiful statement, isn't it? There in the presence of the Lord your God. There. Meeting God. Do we have a sense of that when we come to church? Meeting in the presence of God. The Lord your God. We so easily read the Lord your God, but it's just a delightful phrase. For a godly Jew, it is a musical phrase, a delightful phrase, because the Lord is the God who's committed himself to the people into a personal relationship, your God. Okay. And Jesus should always be delightful to us, fellow believers. It tells us of a Saviour. It tells us of one who is committed to us, who is our rescuer. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds. So who's there? The Lord is there. And the people are there. Fourthly, what? What happens? What happens? Well, there's eating and rejoicing. There's eating and rejoicing. So let's think firstly about this eating. And that's a sense of sharing. Yes, there's an importance of eating together, but it's all an indication of sharing. I just want to go down the passage to verses 17 and 18, which explains what happens when they come together. We'll come further onto this later, but I want to read it now, verses 17 and 18. You must not eat in your own towns the tithe of your grain and new wine and oil, or the firstborn of your herds and flocks, or whatever you have vowed to give, or your freewill offerings or special gifts. Instead, you are to eat them in the presence of the Lord your God, at the place the Lord your God will choose. Okay? So you're eating there. You're eating that which is for the Lord. And it's as if the Lord is bringing it back and you're sharing it with him as you eat it. Something mysterious happening, and then you're sharing it with others. There is a fellowship that is represented by this eating. Now, brothers and sisters, it's good to eat together. Yes, it's good to eat together as a church. Fellowship, lunch, opening our homes. Go for it. Eat together. Invite people. Great. And yet there's a bigger theme here. It's all the fellowship, the sharing with God, that which belongs to God. The food, that those offerings belong to God, and you're eating them. There's a sharing with God together. That is the excitement of Christian fellowship and the Christian life. Sharing those offerings. So, again, if you haven't got the offerings, then you perhaps got nothing to share. That's why you perhaps are not enjoying fellowship. So that's the first thing. And then there is the joy. There is the joy. So here we are. What's supposed to be happening? There's this fellowship in the worship. There's this joy. It's there, isn't there, in verse 7. Verse 7. And you shall rejoice in everything you have put your hand to, because the Lord your God has blessed you. Oh, you're a Jew. And you've got into that land. And in any sense, every day you wake up, you look around and you say, this is amazing. What God has done. We were once in Egypt. And then we wandered around in the wilderness, and now we've got this land. It's ours. And it's rich. And we're blessed. Even if you feel a bit low as you get out of bed one morning, you peep out the window and you say, wow, God has been good to us. God has delivered us. We're a blessed people. And you go out and you go to your field, or you go about your household chores, and you think, this is amazing, we're able to do this. And you come in on the special day and you're rejoicing. You've got all these things and delighting in them. Says there, isn't it? Because the Lord your God has blessed you. Now, fellow Christians, I trust that doesn't take much for you to extend that into your own life. You were once messed up, without hope, dead in trespasses and sins, a write-off for eternity, and now you've been brought into a new land, salvation land, where you are, what was our verse, blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And, yeah, I don't want us just to withdraw from life, and I don't want to say, well, we've got to have a smile every day. Sometimes life is tough. Sometimes we have big struggles. Sometimes it's hard. But the bottom of it, we can know this joy that God has been good to us, and he's given us eternal life and eternal blessings and a life to live and things to enjoy and things to celebrate, which the world knows nothing of. And we're in that land. And we're with the Lord. And we're delighting. And we're bringing it all in. It's just a reminder. Bring things into church, you know. Don't be afraid. Sometimes we think, well, we come into church, I'll forget about everything. I'll forget about all of life and just be in church. No, bring things into church. Bring your struggles. Bring your joys. It says that all your blessings, isn't it? All the things that the Lord has blessed you with. Bring them in. And know this joy. Okay, so we've had a where, we've had a how, we've had a what, we've had a who, and we've had a what. Let's carry on. And the second section goes over it again. So I don't want to go over every detail here, but just as we go into the second section from verse 8 to 14, verses 8 through to 10 is really just an introduction, you say. It seems in verse 8, while they hadn't reached the promised land, things were a bit disorganized, and they got a bit slack, perhaps. And it's saying, that can't continue. Can't continue. You're going to be dispersed. You've got to have a proper order. You know, while they were there, they were all together. But now they're going into the land, they're all going to be spread out. And they've really got to get things sorted out. Verse 10, you're going to cross over the Jordan and settle in the land. It's your inheritance. And he will give you rest from your enemies. This is what God has given. It's just a reminder. This is all God's goodness. Don't forget. Rehearse it every day. God has been good to me. I go to the cross and God is good to me. I can't doubt at the cross God is good to me, because he's given his son to die for me. I've been brought into this new life, and it's just the best life, and God has brought me into it. So let's go then in verse 11, and we see where again. Chapter 12 and verse 11, we see where, the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. Don't miss it. That's where you go. The place the Lord chooses, not where I choose, not where you choose, not where anybody else chooses, the place where you choose. Okay? Second part of verse 11, you got the where, you got the how again, you bring everything I command you, these offerings, sacrifice, tithes, special gifts, choice possessions, you vow, bring them all in. Don't forget, verse 12, you got the who again, rejoice before the Lord your God. Sons, your daughters, your men servants, maid servants, and Levites. Ah! It's different, isn't it? Got some more people here. It doesn't just say the families. It says the men, the women, the maid servants, male servants. It just strikes you there. The men and the women are equal. Equal worshippers. Don't forget that. All valuable. The children come as well. Bring your children to worship. Don't forget that. You got the Levites as well. The Levites from your towns who have no allotment or inheritance of their own. So you got the Levites who are the special servants in the place of God. But they've got nothing specifically allocated to them. So you families, bring them in. Bring in the Levites. So they can be in the family as well. Now, think about this. Dear church here, are there any Levites among us? You've got your family, but there are those perhaps who are on their own. And you can have your nice family. It can happen. We've got our nice family. We're together. You ignore other people. Don't! Think about the Levites. Think about those in the church who are on their own. And they've got nobody else. Will you take them into your home? Support them. Interested in them. Don't exclude people. Feltham Evangelical Church should be a church that people are not excluded. Take an interest in the Levites. Let's think about the family here. Let's think about the family. What does family basically enjoy? You've got some sons and daughters there. What does the family involve? Okay? And they're coming to worship, remember. What does the family involve? You've got some older people, got some younger people. Different stages of life. They come into the worship. Now, can I just say carefully, brothers and sisters in the church, there are some of you in this church, and it normally goes according to older and younger, but not absolutely. Okay? The older ones of you among us generally prefer the older hymns. Yeah? You generally prefer the older songs, and that's, you appreciate. And you younger ones, you possibly get frustrated, those older songs, I don't understand them, perhaps the tune you feel is a bit dreary. I just want the younger, I just want the modern songs, with the modern tunes. That's what I want. So you've got the younger ones who want the modern hymns, you've got older ones who want the older hymns. What do we do? What do we do? We fight. No, we don't! We understand each other. The story is told, I believe it is true, of an older lady who really appreciated the older hymns, but one Sunday they were singing the more modern hymns and she was rejoicing! Because she saw the younger people were so pleased and they were really delighted because she had a servant heart. She wasn't just thinking of her own preference, she just longed for the younger ones to appreciate church as well. Okay? Now, here, as elders of this church, we are committed to reverent worship. We are committed to the honouring of God according to the word of God. And we are committed as well to using the older ones, older songs and more modern songs for the enhancement of the worship of God in this church. And I encourage us all to bear with each other. Some of you might want it all one way, and others of you might want it all another way, but just to bear with each other and encourage each other. If we sing songs which are not biblical, come to us and tell us. That's a different issue. We don't want those. We will sing biblical songs, and we can sing some of the older ones and sing some of the more modern ones. And some I don't like so much, and some you might like so much, and some I might like so much, and some I might... You know what I'm saying, okay? We are here, united to the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus unites us from the youngest to the oldest. That's where we are. But we're all coming from different places, different backgrounds, and I just encourage us all to bear with each other for the honour of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that everything might be joyful. I think we need to cultivate that. I need to cultivate that. Coming into the house of God with joy. Verse 12, and there rejoice before the Lord your God. And finally, verses 13 to 14 is a where. It's a where. God arranges where we are to go. Don't choose. It says there in verse 13, isn't it? It says, be careful not to sacrifice your burnt offerings anywhere you please. Okay? Not where you please, it's where God pleases. Okay? So if you're looking for a church, always look for a place where God has set his name. And there go. Offer it, verse 14, only at the place the Lord will choose in one of your tribes. So let's go on to our second section. And that's arranging our lifestyle. Now the fundamental thing, there's some detail in this passage. I don't want to get bogged down in the detail of verses 15 to 27. But basically, what it's going to teach us is our lifestyle needs to be arranged by the arranger who is God. And it will function around worship.
It'll function around worship. We will prosper when our life flows out. It's basically ordered around a worship at the heart of it. Okay, let's read from verses 15 through to 28 then, from the Word of God in Matthew, in Deuteronomy 12. Nevertheless, you may slaughter your animals in any of your towns and eat as much of the meat as you want, as if it were gazelle or deer, according to the blessing the Lord your God gives you. Both the ceremonially unclean and the clean may eat it. But you must not eat the blood. Pour it out on the ground like water. You must not eat in your own towns the tithe of your grain, the new wine and oil, or the firstborn of your herds and flocks, or whatever you have vowed to give, or your freewill offerings or special gifts. Instead, you are to eat them in the presence of the Lord your God at the place the Lord your God will choose. You and your sons and daughters, your men servants and maid servants, and the Levites from your towns, and you are to rejoice before the Lord your God in everything you put your hand to. Be careful not to neglect the Levites as long as you live in your land. When the Lord your God has enlarged your territory, as he promised you, and you crave meat and say, I would like some meat, then you may eat as much of it as you want. If the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far away from you, you may eat animals from the herds and flocks the Lord has given you, as I commanded you, and in your own towns, and you may eat as much of them as you want. Eat them as you would gazelle or deer. Both the ceremonially unclean and the clean may eat. But be sure you do not eat the blood, because the blood is the life, and you must not eat the life with the meat. You must not eat the blood. Pour it out on the ground like water. Do not eat it, so that it may go well with you and your children after you, because you will be doing what is right in the eyes of the Lord. But take your consecrated things and whatever you have vowed to give, and go to the place the Lord will choose. Present your burnt offerings on the altar of the Lord your God, both the meat and the blood. The blood of your sacrifices must be poured beside the altar of the Lord your God, but you may eat the meat. Be careful. And we'll leave it there. That's the word of our God. And basically it's the same approach here as we come into this section. You got verses 15 to 19 which state the matter once, and you got verses 20 to 28 which state the matter over again. And God is to be the arranger of our lifestyle. God is to arrange how we are to live. Firstly, then, we think about how God provides. There's a graciousness about how God provides. Remember, they're dispersed. There are dispersed people, and he says in verse 15, he says, you may slaughter animals in any of your towns and eat as much of the meat as you want. And that's repeated in verses 20 through to 22. And there they are. If your land increases, you can take. Now, what's the issue here? Well, you see there it says about the gazelle or deer. They were not animals that were set apart for any ceremonial use. And so you could take them, slaughter them, and eat them. Other animals that were used for ceremonial use, you had to be more thoughtful about. But the Lord is saying here, if you can take them as well, the animals that have a aspect of ceremonial use, you can take them. And end of verse 15, both the ceremonially unclean and clean may eat it. As long as it's not being devoted to the special sacrifices, you can take it and you eat it. The Lord provides for them. The Lord is a providing God. Provides this food. Secondly, we want to think about how he protects. How he protects. And I think about the aspect of the blood here. He's very careful about what happens with the blood. The blood is very important because why? Because the life is in the blood, and when a sacrifice is made, when an animal is slain, whether it be for sacrifice or not, when an animal is slain, blood is shed. Life is given up, and that life was given by God. So read in verse 16, for example, it says, but you must not eat the blood, pour it out on the ground like water. Verses 23 to 25 says, but be sure you do not eat the blood, because the blood is the life, and you must not eat the life with the meat. Pour it out on the ground. He says, pour it back to God.
Give it back to God where it came from, acknowledging that God gave it.
It protects you from doing anything wrong with it. You wouldn't offer it in the wrong place. You've poured it out. It also shows how the shedding of blood is so important, and it is the heart of the whole system of sacrifice. Everything concerning our faith today is based upon the value of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the image here, you see. Those sacrifice shed blood. Be careful what you do with the blood. Don't just use it for anything you want. It's an indication the sacrifices have made. And on the basis of those sacrifices, you can come before God and you can rejoice. And fellow believers today, be careful about the blood of Jesus Christ. Speak carefully. It's the heart of our salvation. Thirdly, I want to think about how he preserves the worship. He preserves the worship. So their lifestyle is based around the worship center. And so you have this, read it in verse 17 and 18, which we've read already, concerning bringing those animals that have been devoted to the Lord. He says you are, verse 18, he said you are to eat them in the presence of the Lord at the place the Lord your God will choose. You and your sons and daughters, your men servants, yeah? You're to rejoice. And that's repeated as well in verses 26 and 27. You take the consecrated things and whatever you vowed to give and go to the place the Lord will choose. What's this basically saying? You can't be freelancers. You can't just go and set up your own religious system. You are bound in to the one center of religion, the one center of the faith, and you are to go there with your offerings. And that is preserved so that their lifestyle functions properly. Fellow Christians this morning, you are called to be part of a body of local believers connected with a church where God has set his name. That is preserved here, that they truly would go to that center of worship with their offerings and not set up on their own. Okay, so God provides, God protects the issues, key issue of the blood, and God preserves that the heart of their operation is that the religious, the center of worship where God has chosen to place his name. Now that is important for us, brothers and sisters. There is a sense in which the church should be key in the function of our lives. It's a place where we come together to worship, and we flow out from this place as worshippers. It's the place where we transformed and renewed as a worship center of God. And finally, I just want to mention it's there and it's on its own, but just to think about the preservation of the worship center. It says, verse 19, be careful not to neglect the Levites as long as you live in your land. Don't forget the Levites. What does that mean? Basically, the Levites were devoted to the proper ordering of the religious life of the nation. The godly focus was dependent upon these special servants, the Levites. So make sure they're supplied for. And make sure today that those who are set aside for the service of the Lord in the church are supplied for, so that it is for the benefit of the church, the benefit of the people of God, and the benefit of the cause of God. It's a supply for those who are set aside for the special service of the Lord in the church. So we need to think about that. So we've quickly gone over that second section. I wanted to bring out fundamentally that you've got a lifestyle of the people is to be arranged by God with the preservation of the fact that the religious center, the place of worship, is to be at the heart. So who is the arranger of our lives? He, the true Lord God, should be the arranger as we come to worship. And the verse 28 will tell us what happens when this happens, when everything is in the right place. He says, be careful to obey all these regulations I'm giving you, so that it may always go well with you and your children after you, because you will be doing what is good and right in the eyes of the Lord. Go this way, and it will be well for you. God is a God, as we thought last week, who's in the business of blessing. Blesses those who flow in his way. So go flow in his way with the worship properly arranged by the Lord and our lifestyles properly arranged by the Lord. And we can move forward into blessing. And what's it all meant to you this morning? Perhaps you're not a Christian and it means nothing. Well, come to that one who makes salvation, Jesus Christ, and live this life, which is the best life. And perhaps you're a Christian this morning and you've just wandered away and you've got no excitement with these things. The whole thought of coming to church to rejoice is just foreign to you. Well, perhaps start to go away and think about getting the offerings, getting some sacrifices, and really getting to study the Word of God and to delve into the God's ways, and then see your soul start to prosper. Start to enjoy God and His great ways again and delight to be in the presence of the Lord your God. It is beautiful. It is delightful. It is central that we would have God in His right place. And then we would be in the best place possible. So let's sing our last hymn, which is King of My Life, I Crown You Now. A stand, which is basically putting God in the right place and saying, Lord, be the arranger. Lord, sort it all out. Lord, take it your way. And let's raise our voices to our God and sing to the Lord.